Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Rupert gets closer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. There were some tense negotiations over the weekend between the family controlling Dow Jones and Rupert Murdoch. But the New York Times says the two sides were close to an agreement on editorial independence for the Wall Street Journal. That's been the sticking point in Murdoch's $5 billion takeover attempt. The stock market was caught in a bit of a downdraft on Friday. We had concern about higher interest rates, not to mention worries about more fallout from the subprime mortgage market. The Dow and the S&P each gave back more than 1.25%. The Nasdaq Composite lost 1%. Overnight, Asian stocks were down, and the major markets in Europe are weak at this hour. Oil is trading a tad lower this morning. World energy markets got some relief over the weekend. A general labor strike in Nigeria ended after 4 days. The government agreed to freeze fuel prices for a year. Meantime, BP is restoring its Prudhoe field in Alaska to full capacity this morning. We have more from Stephen Beard.
The leak was tiny. Less than a gallon of oil was spilled. Nevertheless, BP shut down 10,000 barrels of output a day for a week just to carry out a minor repair. This costly exercise may look like an overreaction. But after BP's Texas City refinery disaster and the huge oil spillage in Alaska last year, BP has an image to repair, says Chris Skrabowski of Petroleum Review.
They will have to spend perhaps more than is strictly warranted for a bit on maintenance, on addressing even the smallest of setbacks, in order to reassure both regulators and public.
BP has promised to spend an extra $500 million maintaining and repairing its pipelines in Alaska. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Flying into or out of Los Angeles International Airport can always be a little hectic. It was more so yesterday. A security breach kept passengers from departing Terminal 1 for 90 minutes. Those folks were the lucky ones. Inside, fire sprinklers were activated by a broken water pipe. Who says it never rains in Southern California? You know, flying in the U.S. has certainly become a challenge, even without the water. It can be worse, though, in countries like Brazil. A work slowdown by air traffic controllers there has brought huge delays and heavy losses to businesses in Latin America's largest economy. More from the Americas desk at WLRN and Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Air traffic controllers in Brazil are demanding higher pay, better equipment, and a lighter workload. Their work slowdown has caused chaos in Brazilian airports. Dozens of flights have been canceled and hundreds more delayed. Alex de Gunten directs the Latin American Air Transport Association.
It's been rather tough, both on passengers and airlines. The airline industry is very competitive, and it's very hard to try to maintain schedules when you have the air traffic controllers working at slow pace to make a point with the government.
The Brazilian Air Force oversees the air traffic controllers. It said problems with radar screens and a communications link failure led to the delays. Brazil arrested two controllers on Friday to restore discipline, but the damage was already done. Flights were delayed through the weekend. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Earlier this month, drugstore chain Rite Aid completed its acquisition of nearly 2,000 Brooks and Eckert stores. It was a $4 billion deal. And it allows a larger Rite Aid to better compete with rivals Walgreens and CVS. In our series, Conversations from the Corner Office, Marketplace's Kai Rizdal sat down with Rite Aid CEO Mary Sammons.
So here we sit. You're going to go from a $17 billion company to a $27 billion company. You're going to basically double the amount of workers you have almost. That's a big jump. What are you worried about as that deal goes forward?
I think probably what I've worried about since we started this whole deal is making sure that we retain our people in the acquired company, because they're the touch points with the customers. I don't want to lose pharmacists. I don't want to lose supervisors. I want to keep those field teams intact because they're the ones who take care of customers.
When you do a big deal like the Eckerd deal that just got finished, are you relieved it's over, that whole process, and now you can just go on and run the company?
It was an exciting time. It was certainly frustrating times, because anytime you're going through that kind of series of negotiations, you're really thinking it through all the time, how you get them to understand that this makes the most sense. The discussions went through quite a few, I'd call iterations, because they really weren't for sale. They didn't have a for sale sign up in their yard, but I am glad we're to the stage we're at.
Run me through the mechanics of a deal like this. I would guess that Rite Aid and Brooks and Eckerd have different payroll systems, different pharmacy computers, different branding, different stock keeping. I mean, how do you make it all come together in a way that does not hold the business back while you're going through it?
Well, we used this time that we had from announcing the transaction to closing it to really build, I think, the best integration plan that I've ever been a part of. It's very detailed.
How far down in the weeds do you get?
Oh, it's 700 pages, 12,000 items on the list. We did what I call a lessons learned exercise, where we spent a lot of time understanding the risks of building a plan. A good example would be the training portion of this. If you really are going to be converting 1,850 stores, how do you do it in a reasonable amount of time and yet make sure everyone gets trained? We doubled the investment that we plan to make on the training piece, because what we really learned is that if you want to make sure you don't frustrate your associates and turn off customers, you better have a training plan around your stores so that you don't upset the apple cart.
Mary Sammons, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
For more on Kai's interview with Mary Sammons, go to marketplace.org. Thanks for listening. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.